At a young age, Elijah was a true searcher for truth and meaning. He asked all the big questions, such as, why are we here? How did we get here? And what are we supposed to do? It was in an effort to find an answer to these things that he began to studiously read the Bible whenever he had the chance. In the midst of these theological struggles, Elijah's everyday life in Georgia was also challenging. At just 10 years of age, he was already doing odd jobs to help get extra money for his family. He and his sister often chopped firewood so that they could haul it to town and sell it to anyone who would buy from them. Elijah also attended a local school, but due to the segregation of the day, he couldn't just show up at the closest schoolhouse in town. The African-American designated school he was assigned to attend was quite far from where he lived, and he had to walk 5 miles a day just to get to it. When he wasn't at school, chopping firewood or reading his Bible, young Elijah often sat with his older relatives, who told stories of what Georgia was like during the years of slavery. His grandfather, in particular, captured his imagination, describing how when he was young, the slave masters often twisted specific Bible verses to make it seem as if slavery was condoned by Scripture. Elijah, already accustomed to critiquing his father's scriptural fallacies, knew that this wasn't true and was appalled that someone would be audacious enough to bend the Bible to their own ends. These stories both horrified and intrigued Elijah and seemed to light a fire in his soul. Hearing of the injustice that had been heaped upon his people, he wanted to do something about it. Elijah's true calling had made itself known. Chapter 2. Heading North. There are three signs of a hypocrite. When he speaks lies. When he makes a promise, he breaks it. And when he is trusted, he betrays his trust. Elijah Muhammad. By the time Elijah reached adolescence, life in Cordell had taken a turn for the worse. After a spate of racial attacks against African Americans, including a few horrific public lynchings, many felt compelled to leave. Elijah himself left in 1913 when he was just 16 years old, having found a job in the bigger town of Macon, Georgia. Here, Elijah worked at local sawmills and eventually became a tramroad foreman and builder. At one point, he also took a job as a farm laborer, but this proved to be one of the worst jobs he would ever have. He worked for a European-American farmer who treated his African-American employees as little more than slaves. Elijah wasn't going to put up with it, and when the man threatened to beat him with a stick for failing to follow his instructions, Elijah stood up to the bully. He told him in no uncertain terms that if he did any such thing, Elijah would have no better sense than to strike him back. This was the last time that Elijah would do farm work. By the time of the First World War, meanwhile, many African Americans began to leave the South for the North in what would become known as the Great Migration. As the war heated up, factory jobs were in demand, and there were also some opportunities available in the U.S. Armed Forces for those willing to enlist. Although the armed forces were still segregated, African-American detachments such as the famed Harlem Hellfighters fought with valor. Back home, the steady stream of African-Americans moving north had an impact on Georgia's agricultural economy since there was a sudden shortage of able-bodied men to work the farms. Ironically enough, the Georgian society that had treated the African-American community so badly began to try and stem the flow of migrants by wooing them back. Many black families had been driven off by Georgia's racist practices, yet when local authorities realized how much they needed their labor, they tried to keep people from leaving. Soon, local political leaders began to engage in campaigns about the need to treat the African-American community better. Nevertheless, the Great Migration to the North continued all the same. During this period, although Elijah remained in Georgia for the time being, he too was drawn to the industrial sector, securing far better work than he would have had as a field hand for a farmer. Just as the war was coming to a close in 1918, Elijah very nearly got drafted, but the war managed to end that November just before his draft notice was about to be sent out. After the war ended, he took up a job for the Southern Railroad Company, which had him laboriously working to lay out railroad tracks.